Hello, everyone. I'm Karen Edison, Vice Chair of the Democratic Party of Lee County, and I'm here with
Keith Edison, and I'm here to help review some of the activity of the state legislature.
Welcome to Political Perspectives. We will be talking about preemption bills that were passed and some of the union issues and some teacher training questionable bills. So,
where would you like to start?
Let's start with those preemptions because they bother me so much.
Okay. So preemption is, to me, a very odd concept for a state governed by a Republican majority. You know, they claim to be all about local control, local voters. They know their issues. They can best decide how to handle their issues. And that's why for years you'll hear Republicans rather complain about mandates from Washington, trying to tell the state what to do. But when it comes to Florida, they love their mandates from Tallahassee, telling each county or each municipality what to do. Even though the size of the state, there are significantly varying issues throughout the state that might apply much more significantly in one part of the state than another. But Tallahassee is all about prohibiting local municipalities and counties from establishing anything other than what they want to see done.
So we see this showing up in their rulings on water quality and work wages and...
Well, a whole variety of areas. On the wages front, they passed a bill that prohibits municipalities and counties from establishing a minimum wage other than that set by Tallahassee or the federal minimum wage, which is even lower. So even though the economic conditions in one part of the city, let's say Naples, has a much higher cost of living than other parts of the state, or even Fort Myers, where we are here in Lee County, that the county or the city can't require a minimum wage other than what the state sets. Mm. And you know, it's Tallahassee saying, we don't care about what's going on where you are. We want to control it here, and we want to control this narrative. And that's what they did. They passed HB 433, which is again a preemption bill that prohibits a county or a municipality from raising the minimum wage.
So that prevents an employer from being competitive. And isn't the Republican Party all about letting businesses be competitive?
Well, they claim to be. But again, it's when you start setting rules from Tallahassee that go across the board, it really is apart from the concept of an open free economy, open free marketplace. Another preemption bill that they did was they prohibited local and county ordinances on heat regulations and working in high heat environments. This is for outdoor workers, pretty much for in the construction industry, the agricultural industry. And what it did was it prohibits the county or the municipality from instituting, let's say, every hour you have to have a water break if the temperature exceeds 105 degrees. Or if you're working in construction on a roof and it's over 100 degrees, every 2 hours you get a 50-minute shade break. Nothing like that can happen. No local ordinance can be signed by any county or city that institutes those kinds of regulations. And the GOP said that they want to have uniformity across the state on these kinds of issues. They don't want one rule for working to be in one district or one county or one area of the state and a different rule somewhere else. So their idea of rules, by the way, is, well, we don't need to have a rule because OSHA is there.
Isn't that a federal?
Well, OSHA is. Yes, it is. And the problem with OSHA is it's after the fact. If OSHA shows up, something has gone very wrong. Uh-huh. So it's not protecting the workers in the sense of it's going to prevent something from happening. It's going to come in and fine an employer if a worker gets hurt because of some negligence on behalf of the employer. But if you don't have a requirement for water or for shade, then the question of negligence becomes much more vague because there wasn't a mandate that they ignored. So their idea here is that, you know, they don't want to put any kind of restriction on the employers. Now, most good employers don't want their employees getting hurt. They don't want the agricultural workers. They don't want to have to, you know, find someone else to work or have fewer people able to work to harvest the crops because people got sick. So most good quality employers mm-hmm. don't want people getting mm-hmm. sick. But there's also, you know, what is a good standard? What is the best practice? And in that sense, you could give guidelines. You could put a municipality out there saying, okay, we're going to require that if the temperature does get above 100 degrees, that the workers get a break every hour to have 10 minutes of shade, or every 2 hours get 15 minutes of shade. That's the standard we want to have. That's what the evidence says is safe. It's going to help the workers stay safe. And then the employer knows what they need to do to help keep their employees safe. But the state legislature says, no, we're not going to have any of that. We can't have that kind of local control. We're going to do this from Tallahassee, keeping in mind that working in Dade County in August is significantly different than working up in the Jacksonville or Tallahassee part of the state when it comes to the weather and this heat. Yeah. So that was then they weren't stopped there. And another whole concept here is vacation rentals. You know, everyone knows it's on, but on the news, you see the spring break party houses mm-hmm. that they're having difficulty with, and, you know, 15, 20 people going into a house and causing all kinds of problems in the community, in these neighborhoods. Not to mention there's no control over who goes in there on these vacation rentals. So there was an attempt to pass a statute to control this. And mm-hmm. what the state did was they preemptively said, we're going to pass a bill. You can't pass one to the counties and municipalities. So they now will go out there touting that they passed a bill protecting people on vacation rentals. Well, not so much. You know, their idea of protecting people on vacation rentals is they're going to put together a group up in Tallahassee that's going to monitor this industry, and they're going to hire all of 9 people for the state. 9 people for the state because of this statute they're going to hire to monitor this. And their idea of enforcing this and cracking down on the industry, and what cracking down on the industry really means is that you're preserving these viable communities for the other residents who live there full time. But cracking down is, okay, so they can get into trouble. They can lose their license if they have 5 violations, 5 separate violations within a 5-week period.
Okay, what would that look like?
Well, you'd have to have maybe a noise violation or
parking violations, trash,
whatever it might be. You need 5 separate ones mm-hmm. within 5 separate weeks. So for 5 consecutive weeks. So if someone had not good tenants in their vacation rental over a Christmas vacation break, and they had 4 violations, mm-hmm. and then you fast forward and now it's April and May or spring break time, and then, you know, so it's a different 5 weeks now. So you can have more violations now. And again, you're going to have 9 people doing this. And you've got, you know, think of all the places in Florida where they have, where the spring break kids come. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's all up and down the East Coast. It's up and on the West Coast. Everywhere from Naples, Fort Myers, all the way up Panama City on the Gulf
Key
Coast.
West.
And you've got, and then on the East Coast, I mean, all the way down the coast, Daytona, Fort Lauderdale, Miami, I mean, everywhere, Jacksonville. So the 9 people, I'm sure, are going to be able to keep busy. That's for sure. But that's the Republicans.
Throw us crumbs to make it look like they're doing something, but they're really not, because... Well, it's ineffective.
And that's very similar to what they did. We spoke about this bill before, the bill prohibiting the police officer, complaints against police officers and corrections officers from citizen oversight. The bill they passed, the first part of it says that the sheriff can establish a community oversight to review the policies and procedures of the organization. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so I don't know too many police departments that have a policy that says that you can violate civil rights.
Right.
And that's not in the policies. The rub here is, you know, what is the actual, what's happening actually in reality? Are the policies being followed? And if there's a complaint against a police officer or a corrections officer, that these are, that the community has an eye and can see into the process of whether or not it's a valid complaint against the officer mm-hmm. or the corrections officer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the legislature did all this on the guise of police officers' Bill of Rights. Now, for those of you who don't know, I'm a retired police chief. I've spent 38 years as a police officer. I'm all about police officers' Bill of Rights. But the police officers' rights don't supersede the community's rights. There's a balance there. And there's nothing wrong with having community oversight to make sure, especially in a community where there's been issues of trust between the police department and the community, or in a correction situation between a facility and the community, and making sure that that oversight, that view into the process can give the community a sense that, yes, this agency is doing the right thing. They are properly investigating, and they are holding to account those officers. And there aren't many of them, but there's no organization that's totally free of any wrong, of anything not do going properly. And when it's found out, that it's properly addressed. Mm-hmm. And that's mm-hmm. So what did the legislature do? Well, they created something that made it look like they were okay with citizen oversight, but in reality, they prohibited citizen oversight of the actual complaint review process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
So preemption lives on in the state of Florida. And in Tallahassee, the GOP seems to be just about fine with it. So, because they use it a lot.
Yes. We also learned about this anti-union bill that came through this past week.
Again, this is it's a continuation of the anti-labor momentum that the GOP, the supermajority, and the governor have been running with for the last few years. This was House Bill 1417. So now what has to happen is, if there is a union that's out there that represents workers, that they have to be recertified every year. Typically, when a union gets certified, they're in until there's an action to decertify the union or to remove or to bring a different union in. Mm-hmm. So once you're certified, you're certified. This bill requires an annual certification, and it also requires that 60% of the membership of the employees, rather, are members of the union. So it's going beyond a majority of the workers. It's requiring a supermajority, or a 60% majority, as opposed to 50.1% of the employees. Mm-hmm. They also have made it more difficult for the union to function because they're going to require that no dues can be deducted from their salaries. So the paycheck can't have the dues automatically put in. They also are now requiring certified public, a CPA's independent audit annually of the funds of the union. And they argue, well, if you're not doing anything wrong, you shouldn't be afraid to have the audit. The issue here is that it's another outside expense. If you've got a small local union and you're that might represent 20 people somewhere, you know, janitors in the school, food service workers somewhere, that they now have to go through this expense. Now, the real rub here is that they're making unions very difficult, except for the unions that support them. So if it's a police officer union, if it's a fire department union, if it's a 911 union, if it's an EMT union, if it's any kind of first responders, they don't have any of these restrictions. They don't have to recertify. They don't need 60%. Mm-hmm. They don't need any of these. Those are in effect. Teachers unions, oh, they have to recertify. They sure do. And it's another attack on public education, and they're using every avenue they have to launch this attack, including the anti-union bills that they pass. Hmm. Now, they'll claim that it's because of the nature of the work. Well, I don't understand, and being a police officer, the nature of the work for collective bargaining. There aren't many aspects of the collective bargaining agreement that the nature of the work addresses. How much you get paid, what you get for vacation, how much health insurance is covered. That's not relative to the work that you do. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So yes, can that job be more dangerous than being a teacher? Yes. Do teachers get hurt? Yes. Do teachers get assaulted at work? Yes. I mean, things happen to employees in lots of different areas. Mm-hmm. And to use the excuse of, well, we're going to give a little bit more to our hero first responders, so we're going to give them a pass on this union. There's a whole lot better ways to do that than giving a pass to the union. The union activities that they've instituted are strictly done to break unions. Mm-hmm. That's what they're trying to do.
Right, right. And so speaking of teachers.
teachers are a target in Florida, that is for sure. So what they've done this year is they've passed a bill on teacher training for certification to become a teacher in Florida. So as you take the preparation courses, so when you're in college and you're to become a teacher, Florida Department of Education has a say in what curriculum is taught. So they've passed a bill and they're directing the Florida Department of Education to make sure that no training program offers any course to a teacher in that discusses the concepts of white privilege, sexism, systemic racism, oppression, identity politics, or economic inequalities or inequities that have occurred in our country. So the idea of to have a teacher not be taught about these concepts, not that they teach these in the school, but that the teachers can't be taught the concept to have a better understanding of what might be in the mindset of a student coming into my classroom.
Right. Right.
Okay. So they don't want the teachers to have a broader range of thought. They want a very narrow range of thought. And so they don't want to expose them to any identity politics. So what they've done is they've told the Department of Education to prohibit all these courses. And that's not to mention with teachers, they also had a class on a bill on teaching communism.
Oh my goodness, this is awful.
So I actually witnessed this discussion on the floor up in Tallahassee at the Capitol. And there was a discussion about, well, to begin with, the bill talks about establishing curriculum K through 12 for teaching communism in the 20th century to present and its effects.
K through 12.
So a member of the legislature stood up and inquired as to what would you be teaching about communism in kindergarten? And the sponsor of the legislation said, there's nothing in the bill that has the word kindergarten anywhere in it. You're right. It doesn't.
It says
K through 12, but it doesn't say kindergarten. All that aside, what their idea is, they want to propose a committee or a commission to put together this curriculum. Now, this is the same kind of commission that put together a curriculum on a history that told us about all the wonderful things that the slaves learned and how good it was for them.
Not.
Yes, exactly. But that same kind of committee is going to put together a curriculum to teach us about communism. And they had specifically in the statute talked about Cuba, China, and Venezuela. And there were questions on the floor about
Russia.
What about Russia? And the response was, well, certainly it's going to include Russia. And because we're going to have a comprehensive view of communism and all the evils of communism. And then there was a question about, well, what about the American response to the Cold War in the form of the McCarthyism and that kind of response by Americans to the threat of communism? And they said, well, yes, we're going to include everything in it. So the Democrats then turned and said, well, okay, I propose an amendment. We want to amend the statute to include, specifically add Russia and McCarthyism to the bill. And the GOP said, no, we don't need that. Nope. Well, then why did you need Cuba, Venezuela, and China?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's just the inconsistency is just so absurd. From I don't want Washington telling Florida what to do, but it's okay for Tallahassee to tell the various counties what to do, to this bill where it's, we don't want to tell the legislature that they have to do. It's crazy. And the idea of they'll get it right when they do the curriculum. And you know, the counter argument to that is, what's the harm if you include Russia and you include
or North Korea or any
and you include McCarthyism in there? Then as they put their curriculum together, they will know without a doubt what the legislative intent was. When you leave those out, you open the door for this commission to be able to put in what they think is more important and may leave out what they want because there was no specific reference to it. The other aspect of it is, if you look at how the commission is going to be made up, the bill stands, it's the speaker picks someone, the president picks somebody, the governor picks three, and then someone from the University of Miami, and then a think tank that works at, I think, the University of Miami. So seven members, five of which are controlled by the GOP legislature.
So clearly favoritism toward Russia, which is coming directly from their candidate for president.
Well, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck.
Yes.
No, don't think pheasant.
Right.
So that's kind of what they're up to. That's what they've been doing. We'll wait now to see how many of these get the governor's signature. But clearly, Tallahassee is fully embedded in their identity politics. And that's perfectly fine because it's their identity politics. So,
Right. Well, thank you for joining us on Political Perspective. Excuse me. I'm Karen Edison, and this is.
And I'm Keith Edison. And again, please don't forget the most important thing you can do is to vote.
Yes.
Be a part of the process and vote. And you can vote these people out. That would be a good thing to do, too.
Yes. Bye for now.
Thank you.